Judges chapter number 10, and we'll read a few verses there. Judges chapter number 10. I told Kim last week after church, I said I hadn't thought about it like this, but I was thinking about it, and I told her, I said, really, I've just preached two messages all summer long. On Wednesday night, I've been preaching out of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10. And then for 5 weeks, all of July and last Sunday, I preached out of Exodus chapter number 33. But this morning, I want to read a couple of verses. Judges chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. And you probably don't remember, but I did not preach a Father's Day message. And so since I run behind all the time anyway, this will have to count for the Father's Day message that I didn't preach in June. But anyway, Judges chapter 10, let's read verses 1 and 2, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said, "And after Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Pua, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar, and he dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim. And he judged Israel 23 years and died and was buried in Shamir." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we just come today and I want to thank you for all the many blessings that you've given to us and letting us be here this morning. God, we just praise you for all that you are. And Lord, we are so unworthy to even come before thy presence. But Lord, we need thy grace and thy help, and as we studied about in the Sunday school class, we're thankful, Lord, for the sacrifice that you made on Calvary that we might come. Lord, that we don't have to come bringing the works of our hands, but Lord, we realize you made a perfect sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, and we thank you for that. We praise you for that. We ask for your help this morning. We have many objects of prayer. God, we ask you to be in the service today and speak to our hearts and help us. Help our students that start back to school, Lord. And Lord, we pray for our community and all the things that have gone on in the past, all this summer, really. God, we need your help and we pray for it. And God, speak to our hearts this morning. Help and give liberty as only you can. Have your way and we'll thank you for all that you do. We ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's read those two verses again, and we'll get into the message this morning. Judges chapter 10, verse 1. And the Bible says, "And after Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel Tola." This is who I'm going to try to preach on this morning, this man Tola. I want you to notice what it says about him. "There arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Pua, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar. And he dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim. And he judged Israel 23 years and died and was buried in Shamir." And I begin to think about this passage of Scripture. It was back in June. We went on vacation. And while we were on vacation, Abigail, she let me she bought her a new, I think it's called an iPod or iPad, something like that. Little, what we used to call a Walkman, but now they're a lot different. But anyway, had a radio on it. And so I was listening one day, I found a Christian radio station, and I was listening to J. Vernon McGee. I like Brother J. Vernon McGee, and I like to hear him preach, and I like to read in his commentaries, and I was listening to his radio program, and he was teaching through the book of Judges. And he said this, he came to Judges chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, and he said this about Tola. He said, "Maybe you have never heard of Tola. If you haven't, it is perfectly all right. He did nothing noteworthy. What did Tola do? He died and was buried in Shamir. Not one thing is recorded about any achievements. His tombstone would have said, born-died. And so that's how his radio broadcast started out on that day. And I'd never thought about Tola or read or studied anything about Tola, but I got to thinking about that, and that just bothered me that there was this man in the Bible who, at first glimpse, we might think that he did nothing. And then thousands of years later after that, the teaching about him that he did nothing noteworthy. And I just thought to myself, surely if God thought enough about Tola to put it in the Bible, surely he did something. Surely there's something that we could get about his life. And so I went over there and I read and I studied about Tola, and I began to think about that, and I've thought on it on and off since the month of June. You know, so what if there's not a long list of accomplishments accompanying somebody's life? You know, there doesn't always have to be a long list of this person did this and this person did that. Maybe there were no great revivals during Tola's day. Maybe there's no great battles. There's nothing noteworthy about his life. You know, I thought about it like this. I thought about, well, if that's what we say about Tola's life, what would the Lord say about our lives? You know, I thought about, what if Tola was like a whole lot of missionaries that are out here today that are trying to serve the Lord in a very, very hard place to serve the Lord? I've been there. I've done that. I was a missionary in the state of Idaho, and all of our neighbors and the community that we lived in were all Mormons. And as far as I know, we lived there and served there as pastor of that church for almost 4 years. And as far as I know, there was only one person that was saved in all of that time that was out of the Mormon religion. We had a few others in the church, in the family there, but I'll tell you, it's hard to write a prayer letter every month and try to come up with something new that's going on when it seems like nothing is going on. You see what I'm saying this morning? They always say, if somebody says, you see what I'm saying, that they don't think you see what they're saying. But you see what I'm saying? Maybe Tola lived in a day and a time where there just wasn't much going on worth writing about. Sort of like we think about our day and time when we compare it to the great revivals of the past and things of that nature. But as I studied about Tola's life, and I do realize this morning that there are people that live their whole Christian life and go to church that never do nothing. But I don't think that's how Tola was. At least he was there and stood in the gap. I thought about this. If he did nothing else, he was there from one judge to another judge. At least he was there and filled in the gap. And that's what I want to try to preach on this morning. I think that ought to count for something. I want to preach on this subject. Tola stood in the gap. Tola stood in the gap. You prayed for me this morning that God will help us, and my allergies and throats bother me, so I'll try to not bother you by that this morning, but I do desire your prayers. Tola stood in the gap, and that is important, that somebody stands in the gap from one generation, the one that we inherit or come into, that somebody stands in the gap and holds up the bloodstained banner and preaches the word of God and tries to do right until our time on earth is done and we lay our lives down and pass the torch on to somebody else. It is important that somebody stand in the gap, and I believe that's what Tola did. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel 22 and verse 30 that God said, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." And I've always associated that with prayer, that we ought to have somebody stand in the gap by prayer, and prayer is important. And that's part of it this morning, but I believe there's much more to standing in the gap than just praying. And I'm going to try to show you some things about Tola's life. and Tola's family and try to point that out and incorporate it into our lives this morning. Usually I'll only preach on 3 or 4 points, but I've got 7 things I want to share with you this morning about Tola, and I'll try to move along as quickly as the Lord will let me. But I want to say first of all this morning about Tola, the man who stood in the gap, he was a muscle man. Look what the Bible says in verse number 1. And after Abimelech, there rose to defend Israel. Now that's worth underlining. He did do something. There rose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Pua, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar. A man of Issachar, the Bible says. This tells us something about his family, his heritage, his lineage. He was a descendant of Issachar. Now, studied about Issachar in the Bible. He is a son of Jacob. That's where the names of the 12 tribes come from. Issachar is one of the names of those tribes. And when Jacob was dying in Genesis chapter 49, Jacob said this about Issachar. He said, Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens. And so what he said about his son, which would have been Tola's great, 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 I didn't figure it out how far back it would be. He was known, he come from a family that was known as being like a strong animal, a burden-bearing animal that was couching down between two burdens there. And so we can say some things about Tola that I do not believe he's taking it out of context. I believe he was a strong man. I believe he was a defender. That's what the Bible says. Verse 1. 2, there arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Pua, a strong man, a defender. The Bible says he was a man of Issachar. Don't we need some men in this day and time? He was a man of Issachar who was described as being a strong ass couching down between two burdens, the Bible says. Listen, ministry and discipleship and Christian living, it is not for wimps and sissies and quitters. Did you know that? It's not the easiest thing in the world to live for God. It takes real men and real women of character and strength and backbone and grit and resolve to do something and to live for God and not lay down and quit in these last days in which we're living in. And I believe that Tola was that kind of man. He was a man. Now, if that hurts your feelings, you need to go to the class for low self-esteem, and it's behind the church in the back door in the basement, you know. That's how we live in this. I mean, people go around, it hurts their feelings to just say things like they are, but that's the way it is. The Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 16 and 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. That is a Bible characteristic, to be strong and for men to be like men. I got studying about that. It said over there, Paul was telling the church at Corinth. And you know, if you study about that church at Corinth, that's the church that it says that some of them were effeminate, which is the opposite of manliness. And Paul told that church, he said, quit you like men, be strong. And I got studying about that quit you like men. That word quit there, it means act manly. Be manly like men, Paul told the church at Corinth. And God told Joshua over there in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, he said, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. We need to have some strength, and oh, how we need a revival of manly men, like I said, with strength. Not just physically, we always think of physical strength. And that's good, that's handy, But we need some men that are morally strong and that have some resolve and grit and some backbone in this day and time. We need some preachers like John the Baptist was. I always like to study about John the Baptist. He's one of my favorite. He wouldn't get many invitations to the big uppity churches to come and preach. You know, he came out of the wilderness and he had on a camel's garment and he eat locusts and wild honey and all that stuff. And John, if you study about it, he was just sort of a wild man. We think nowadays that preachers need to be orators and, you know, have these big flowery words, and it almost sounds more like psychology than it does the preaching of the Word of God. But I'm telling you, we need some Johns, some men of God that'll just stand up and preach. And they went out and heard John preach and they were amazed. And Jesus said, did you think you was going to find a reed blowing in the wind when you went to see John or hear John preach? No, John was a preacher. We need some men. We need some men like John. We need some preachers like John. We need some politicians like in the old days where that men were men and they stood for something. My goodness, what's happened to us? When I grew up, Ronald Reagan was, he's sort of the one that I would associate with the most as I was growing up. And I remember seeing pictures of him out working in California and had a chainsaw and cutting wood like something a man ought to do. You won't see many of your modern day fellas doing anything manly. See, our whole society has gone away from that. Our whole society wants men to be like women, and the reason is because manliness is a Bible characteristic. So the devil does not want men to act like God says men ought to be. And that's why we have all this softness among us in this day and time in which we live. And I'll just say to you mamas, let your boys be boys. Don't tell them not to do everything under the sun, because they might get hot and they might get dirty and they might get bruised up and banged up. I mean, just let boys. We need some boys to be boys if we want some men to be men. When I was growing up, we didn't have fun till somebody got hurt. I mean, we just didn't think we was doing no good till somebody was bleeding and had to go in and get fixed up, you know. But I'll tell you, I told Kim the other day, I said, when's the last time you saw a youngin' with a cast on? Well, when I was growing up, that's just a common thing. I mean, we broke arms and legs and wrists and hands and everything else. I don't think children play enough outside to break anything. Now, please, you youngins, don't break no bones this coming week, because I'll get blamed for it. But you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. Our society is so soft, and our generation is so politically correct, and we want men to act like women, and we've got women acting like men, and I'm telling you, it's not good. It's not good. We need some manly men. We need some parents like I was saying about this past week, my grandparents. I thank God as I grew up that I had some grandparents, some grandpas that commanded our respect as children. Now, my parents spanked me growing up, and that's good and well. That's the way it ought to be. But you know, my grandparents never had to spank me for nothing, because there was just something about them that caused me in my heart to respect them to the point that I didn't do nothing around them for them to have to spank me about. And I got to thinking about my grandpa specifically. They were men. They were men. I saw my grandpa Greer spank my brother one time, and I decided then that I never wanted none of that. I'm honest. He got on to me about one time. And my other grandpa was a preacher, and we respected him as a man of God and would have never done nothing around him that he'd have to spank us. We respected him. What has happened in our society, our younger generation does not respect the older generation. We need some manly men. And old Tola, he was a man. The Word of God tells us his character, his nature, he was a muscle man. He's strong. He was a defender. He was a man. He was a minute man. Now, look here in verse number 1. The Bible said, after Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Puah, the Bible says. Now, the reason I call him a minute man is because he arose, it seems like there was a need. And he met that need to defend Israel. Made me think of the minute men of the Revolutionary War. And if you think, or if you're thankful for your freedoms that you have in America, you need to study and find out where they come from. Because they were some men once upon a time that were so willing and so believed in what they believed that they were willing to die for it. And so at a minute's notice, they were to be ready to defend their homes against the British, and they kept a gun and powder and bullets, and they kept it ready to go, and so they got the name of Minutemen. But they were the militia of those days, the unorganized army that was just called out of the ranks of the people, and they fought for our freedoms in the American Revolutionary War. Now, Tola, his family was a fighting family. This is his heritage. Look back in chapter 5. Now, he's a son of Issachar. And in chapter number 5, the children of Israel, they're in a battle. Deborah and Barak, and they're in battle against the king Jabin, J-A-B-I-N is his name. And the Bible says in chapter 5 and verse number 15, and the princes of Issachar, that's Tola's family. He very well could have been one of those men. And if he wasn't one of those men, then that was one of those men would have been his daddy at the very least, as I was studying about the time period involved here. But it said the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley for the divisions of Reuben. There were great thoughts of heart. And so while Reuben is sitting home watching TV thinking about it, Issachar's down there, a foot soldier. The princes of Issachar, they were a fighting family, and they knew the very present need to arise and defend their homes. And that's what they did. And so Tola, in the spirit of his family and his heritage in chapter 10, verse 1, when the need arises over there, he rises up to defend Israel. Tola, the son of Puah, he's a minute man. And oh, how we need some defenders in this day and time. We need some men that'll stand up and defend the faith. Is the faith not under attack all round about us? On every hand, I'm telling you, even in churches, they're letting it fall to the ground. A lot of people don't even know we've got a Bible. We've got a Bible. That's not what I'm arguing about this morning, but a lot of people don't even know we've got a Bible. We've got the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with the faith. The faith has stood the test of time all down through the ages of time. We don't need a new faith. We need an old faith. The Bible said, thus saith the Lord, standing in the ways and seeing, ask for the old paths. Where's the good way? Walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And Jude said that we're to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. We need some people that will defend the faith. We need some people that'll defend the family. You know the family's under attack. abundant evidence in our society all round about us this past week about, my goodness, it still amazes me that there'd even be a question about what marriage is. It's between a man and a woman. And if the whole world changes the way that it does things and men start marrying men and it becomes just as common as dirt, it'll still be wrong. It'll be wrong because God says it's wrong. And God's Word, God's the one that come up with marriage. But boy, we need some to defend the family. We need some that will defend our freedoms that we have. Very few people, it seems, realizes how close we are to losing everything we hold dear. In our nation, our nation's in a mess. But old Tola was a muscle man, and Tola was a minute man, and Tola was a mighty man. Look over in 1 Chronicles, chapter number 7. We'll read a few verses over here in 1 Chronicles. He was a mighty man. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's page 464. All the Scofield Bibles have the same page numbers. And so that's why I say that this morning. But in 1 Chronicles, and you know it's 1 2 Samuel, 1 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, chapter number 7. Verses 1 and 2 is talking about the sons of Issachar. The sons of Issachar were mighty men. They were valiant men, the Bible says. Verse 1, now the sons of Issachar were Tola and Pua, Jashub and Shimron, 4. And the sons of Tola, Uzai and Rephai and Jeriel and Jemai and Jibsam, and Shemuel, heads of their father's house, to wit. Now, that little two words there, to wit, it means this is how they were. This is something about the sons of Tola. This is how they were. To wit of Tola, they were valiant men of might in their generations. I like that. They were valiant men of might in their generations. You know, I think about it more now than I used to, but one of these days, my generation is going to pass off the scene. We're going to leave, that to somebody else. Now, what are they going to say about us when we're gone? They said about Tola and his generations that they were, the Bible says, they were valiant men of might is what the Bible says. What are they going to say about us when we're gone? What is our testimony going to be when we have passed off the scene? Will our children and our grandchildren say they were valiant men of might? Or will they one day say, why didn't they do something? Why didn't they do something about this mess that we've inherited? Because I tell you, that's what our children and grandchildren have got to look forward to. When I was graduating from high school, and I'm telling you, the options were endless. What are you going to do? Could have done anything that I'd have wanted to do. That's what they told us growing up. You can do anything you want to do. Get out, get a job, get a good job, go to college, get a better job. What have our young people got to look forward to? They're going to inherit a mess. If they're not some valiant men of might that stands up and does all that we can to fight all that there is that's going on out there in the world, we're in a mess. We're in a mess. We need some valiant men of might. They were mighty men. Look over in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. They were mental men. And what I mean by this is that they had wisdom. They had knowledge. They had understanding to know what to do. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12 and verse number 32. Tola, he was a mental man. Not mental like a nutcase. But you know, that's all my M's lining up. I'm sorry about that. But See what I'm trying to get at? The Bible said in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse number 32, "And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment." Do you see what kind of men they were? They were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. What are we going to do? Well, we need wisdom. You say, "Preacher, there ain't no way out." Well, there's a way if we went the right way. Wisdom has a way, God has a way, but the world has a way, and it's a way down. You're going to have to quit following the ways of the world. You're going to have to quit following the leader. Well, you know, we just got to vote for the lesser of two evils. No, we got to get back to God. It's our only chance. That's our only hope. They were men of wisdom. And I know in going back to the book of Judges, chapter number 10, but I just leave there. They were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. And I know in Judges chapter number 10, verses 1 and 2, there's no great story there. Doesn't tell us about anything that he ever done. But you know, maybe it's because he had some wisdom to stay out of some fights that he shouldn't have been in. Maybe it's because he had enough God about him not to get involved in some stuff that made a sordid type of story out of his life, like David, for example. Maybe there's no story because he just knew how to avoid drama and all that bunch of stuff. You know, I know there's four chapters on Samson. I went over there and looked at it. But you know, most of them chapters on Samson are about his sin and his carnality and his wickedness and all like that. And you know, if that's how you get in the Bible, I'd rather just not say anything about me. You know what I'm saying? There he is, and no, there's no great story about him. And I believe he, you know, had some wisdom about him. That's what the Bible says about the men of Issachar. They were men of understanding of the times that ought to know what Israel ought to do. And I've thought a whole lot about my life. If I could have one thing, I'd like to have some wisdom. I believe that really count for something in eternity. Be to have some wisdom. You say, "Preacher, that sounds good to me. I'd like to have some wisdom." Where can you get some of that? Well, I tell you, it's free. Get it right there in the Word of God. The Bible says the fear of the Lord's the beginning of wisdom. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs over and over and over again that wisdom cries out and wisdom calls out. It's not like it's hard to find. It's right there in the Word of God. Fear God. Get in God's Word. Pray for it. James 1 and 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him." You can pray. God will give you wisdom. They were men of wisdom. He was a mighty man. He was number 5. Look in verse 1. Back in Judges chapter number 10, here's something very interesting about Tola. He was a minute man. That word minute means small. And I get that from what his name means. The Bible said, "And after Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Puah." The word or the name Tola, it means a worm. A worm. Can you imagine naming your son Wormy? Last I checked, there's no NFL teams named the Worms. You know, that'd be just hard to market, wouldn't it? There's the Tigers and the Bears and the Lions and the Eagles and all them other big, tough sounding names, but nobody names their team the Worms. Nobody names their son the Worm, but that's what Tola's name was. His name, it means worm. It was a certain type of worm, a scarlet worm that they would crush, and the scarlet color that came out of it, they would dye garments, and you couldn't get it out, couldn't get the stain out. And that's what his name means, a worm. And nobody notices worms and what they do. But do you know this morning that worms are necessary? And worms enrich and bless everywhere that they are. They are absolutely necessary to plant life. If your garden's not doing any good and your dirt's bad, get a bunch of worms and put them in the garden. And you know what? They'll help your soil. Because that is what they do. They enrich, and it would be impossible to have plants upon the earth if it were not for worms. And they work out of the limelight. And they work in the dark. And they work underneath where nobody sees what they're doing. But it's absolutely necessary, the work that they do. But Tola is a lesson in humility. The Bible says in the New Testament many places. But this one, 1 Peter 5:5, the Bible says, be clothed with humility. We're to be humble in what we do. If we say this morning that Tola did nothing because it is not written down, we're setting a dangerous precedent that anything worth anything would have to be recognized and acknowledged. That it wouldn't be worth anything unless your name was up in lights and everybody recognized and everybody acknowledged what you were doing. It wouldn't be worth anything if we say that he didn't do anything. But you know what I read over in the New Testament, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he said, your alms, when you do your giving, he said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. He said, what you do, do it in secret. And my Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. He said, when you pray, don't be like the Pharisees and go out and stand on the corner where you'll be seen and recognized of men. But he said, enter into your closet, shut the door, and pray in secret. And my Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Thank God there's some people that'll just do and they don't have to be recognized and their name put in the paper over what they've done. Be hard to see much done if we had to take time to recognize everything and everybody's done. Hey, I thank God for everything that everybody does, but you better let your scorekeeper be God. Better let him keep up with what's going on. And so Tola is a lesson in humility. He's a minute man. And number six, he's a marathon man. Now look what it says in verse 2. It says, and he judged Israel 23 years and died and was buried in Shamir. Now, he judged Israel 23 years. And as I've studied about his life, I believe that he was probably called upon to be the judge of Israel as an older man. Especially if he was fighting back in Judges chapter number 5. He was called upon. He arose to defend Israel. Maybe that 23 years is not a record for longevity. But you know what? He did it till he died. He's faithful in what God had called him to do. And he judged Israel for 23 years. Obviously, he had some stick-to-it-ness. I'm like Brother Bill. I'm making up words. He had some stick-to-it. To him. He did it until he died. Now, when you die, you can't do it no more, can you? But he judged Israel 23 years until he died. And the Christian life, I've seen so many down through the years. In fact, that's about how long I've been preaching. 23 years. In one respect, that's not long at all. But on the other, it's a long time. Because I'll tell you, in 23 years, there's been a lot that's come along like a 100-yard dash. And boy, they just going to set the world on fire, and they've come and they've passed off the scene. And they've come and they've gone. The Christian life is not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. It's a marathon. It's not something we see how fast we can get something done, but by the grace of God, we can hang in and until we either we die or the Lord Jesus Christ comes, I'm not looking to retire. What's that saying? I'm looking to refire. I don't want to rust out. It'd be all right to wear out. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:24, he said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain." And he's not talking about a dash. He's talking about that slow and steady wins the race. He's talking there about pacing ourselves, not to spend out in a short rush, but to finish what we started. There's way too many in our society used to be. You know, you go around, you talk to people, knock on some doors, you're going to run into a whole lot out there. I used to go to church. Yeah, I used to teach Sunday school. I used to preach. I used to do this. I used to do that. That doesn't bring glory and honor to God. And that's not how Tola was. He judged 23 years and he died and was buried in Shamir, the Bible says. He was a marathon man. He finished his race. And then last of all this morning, I'll show you one last thing. He was a message man. Now, our generation needs some men that'll stand in the gap, but if all we do is stand in the gap, well, we've not done everything that we ought to be doing. We need a message for our generation. And Tola had a message for his generation. And the Bible said in verse number 1, I'll read this, "It's still good for today." And I'm like Brother Bill said this morning, boy, the Word of God's good. There's a lot in there. The Bible said, "And after Abimelech there arose to defend Israel, Tola, the son of Pua, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar, and he dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim. And he judged Israel 23 years and died and was buried in Shamir." You say, well, what's the message in all of that? There's a good message here. The Bible said in verse 1, "And after Abimelech." Abimelech, I'm not going to preach all this, but if you read in chapter number 9, you'll read the story of Abimelech, and what you'll find, I'll sum it up in one sentence. He subverted a kingdom that wasn't his. He subverted a kingdom that was not his. You know, that's what the devil did in the Garden of Eden. Abimelech is a type of the devil. And he subverted a kingdom that wasn't his. After Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel. You know the Bible says about Israel, that's Jacob. And God changed Jacob's name to Israel. He said, "Because for as a prince, thou hast power with God." And so to defend the prince of God, Tola, a worm, arose. Now, the Bible said in Psalms 22 and verse number 6, it says, and this is a messianic psalm. It's talking about Jesus going to the cross. And he said, "But I am a worm and no man." That was the testimony of the Lord Jesus. He said, "I'm a worm and no man." Tola. And that's the same word that is used there, worm. And it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Pua, the Bible says. Now, the word Pua, the name, it means an utterance. His father, the father of the worm, his name means an utterance. Sort of like in John 1:1, where the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word." You know, that's the first time in the Bible the word "Word" is in capital letters. And it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Word, an utterance. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And John 1:14 says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Boy, I like that. And so His name means an utterance about the worm. And His father, the Bible said, the name of Dodo. You know, I studied a lot about his name. It's either Dodo or Doo Doo, and I don't know which one would be worse. But I like what it means. It means loving. It means loving. Sort of like in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the worm came, and He's the Son of utterance and loving. The Bible says that He's a man of Issachar. That's the strong man that bears down between two burdens. Hey, the Lord Jesus Christ came, and He bore the burden of the wrath of God, and He bore the burden of our sins. He's son of Issachar, and He dwelt in Shamir, in Mount Ephraim, and judged Israel 23 years, and died and was buried in Shamir. That word Shamir there, it means a thorn, a pricking thorn. You know, when Jesus died upon the cross, they placed the thorn upon His head. The crown of thorns upon His head. And so He died. He was buried there in Shamir. It says in verse 1, in Mount Ephraim. Ephraim means doubly fruitful. And we think about look at this. There's the death, the burial, and the resurrection in verse 2. He said, and He judged Israel 23 years and died and was buried. Verse 3, and after Him arose. Now, if you can't get a gospel message out of that, if you can't get the message of the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the dear Lamb of God that they put upon the cross, and He died and shed His blood for our sins, boy, if you can't get a gospel message out of that, I don't know if a man would be called to preach. There's plenty of gospel all throughout the Bible. The problem is people won't listen. But He had a message for His day. You know, if I was to preach that again, I'd preach the worm that defeated a snake. Because Tola's the worm and Abimelech's the snake. And the devil was a snake in the garden. He's still a snake today. But thank God Jesus bruised His head on Calvary and got the victory. You know, there's all kinds of preaching in there that we could look at. And He had a message, and His message pointed to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And His message is one of humility, that humility does great things. The Bible said, if My people which are called by My name shall humble themselves, and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, and then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land, the Word of God says. And so we need some men like Tola that'll stand in the gap, that'll make up a hedge, that'll just be the men that God means for them to be. And Tola, I believe, was that kind of man. Now, I like J. Vernon McGee, and I'm not just picking, but I'd take issue with him about Tola. I believe Tola did something. And I believe God expects for us to do something. And maybe it won't be written about in long, flowery chapters or put in the newspaper, but I trust that God's a good enough scorekeeper. I'll just leave it with Him. We'll just leave it with Him and do what we know we ought to do. And after Abimelech there arose to defend Israel, Tola, the son of Puah, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar, and he dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim, and he judged Israel 23 years and died and was buried in Shamir. I'd like to be a man like Tola when I go to meet the Lord. I'd like for